For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world, from the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Welcome everyone to our isn't that great? I did a little hawk to it right into the mic myself. There we go.
You take our button away, Govier. We're just gonna make the damn noise
we're
ourselves.
Do it ourselves, damn it. Alright. Well, welcome tonight, folks, to another Robbie and Ben Prospect Power Hour with the Plaza Podcast crew. My name is Ben Chase, Big Gentle Ben on all of your social media applications. And my man, Robbie Baseball, Robbie Baseball 1 on Elon's favorite place. Robbie, busy week. Lots of things going on. Lots of people to talk about. Lots of things to talk about this week.
Absolutely. Got to crack one and get into it because it is the heat of baseball season. And I keep hearing this fantasy baseball, blah, blah, blah. I just don't get it. Fantasy football, blah, blah, blah. I just don't get it. Baseball, you know, baseball is life. So let's crack into it tonight. We've got some earth shattering news for my ego.
I want to bring this up.
1:30 in. Let's get a Braves update.
God, hey, somebody else had
thanks,
to
Mike. Somebody has to. Yeah, sure. Okay. Just tell the people.
In all seriousness, I looked at this earlier today because the same system went through South Dakota really bad today. So I figured, yeah, this is going to cause an issue for the ball game. So, but I'm guessing the Twins and Braves thought, well, you know, Max Fried, Bailey Ober, they've been guys who've been getting through innings quick this year. So, or especially lately. So we're going to try and maybe we get through five and just we all get to go home early tonight. It is 9-1 after the top of the second inning, and this is going to stick around probably for at least another half an hour. I don't know how long they're willing to wait, but that will mean that they've been not playing baseball for 90 minutes. So we'll see. But anyway, it was fun to watch. Braves got a couple homers off of Ober, including Matt Olson going deep. He's been hitting very well lately, and that's kind of fun to watch. But anyway, Hey, Braves have more injuries too, so you know folks can you know make fun of my Braves for that. So.
10 games over 500, you know the good team, and we're moving on. So
all right,
Alex Call, who like was really making the most of the second call up this year in Washington, got hurt over the weekend. It sucks because he was doing great with it. Dylan Cruz was coming up no matter what. This isn't related. Somebody else was called up in the meantime. I'm curious your thoughts on this, Ben. Are we just losing out on Alex Call, who I believe will either start or play all of next year at age, turn or play all of next year at age 30. Call has been a very good minor leaguer, but is one of those late call-up guys. Cleveland let him go last year to try to do him a solid. He made a place, made a home for himself in Washington, and then was really crappy out of the gate this year and got sent down, but has been back and has been good. Do you think there is some life left? Is he not even really a sleeper? Is he worthy of our time this offseason?
I think he is kind of your prototypical high-end fourth outfielder who could do very well with a third outfield role for a little while. But, I mean, a good comparison here is Jake Cave. Cave is not a guy you likely were ever excited if he was the starting outfielder for your team. Mm-hmm. But you knew if, you know, especially when he was with the Twins, if he had to replace Byron Buxton, they weren't going to lose terribly overall. He was by no means Byron Buxton, but he wasn't going to hurt the team by taking that spot. And I think that's Alex Call. And unfortunately, he had his, one of the very few opportunities he's probably going to get to be that starter, and then gets hurt. That's a bummer.
Same with bringing in all the veterans that Washington brought in to start the year, right? They were trying to do what they ended up getting to do with Winker, but they brought in a lot of guys hoping that they could, you know, make something happen and then turn them into assets elsewhere. And Call really was not one of those guys. Call was supposed to be part of it if he was able to do it.
Yeah. Call is – the play was really weird.
Yeah, he was just running down a ball.
Well – but it wasn't his ball. And that's the whole thing, is the second baseman had the ball the whole way, had called him off. Mm-hmm. And it's like he was jogging.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was at the end of the play and just all of a sudden like went down in a heap. And it was like the sniper from the third deck, you know, that boom, got him.
I saw a video recently of a 45-year-old man playing softball was like the tag. And he smacked the ball, and then they show a sniper up in the trees doing this. And then the guy rounds the base, and the sniper, and the guy just like tripped and fell over himself and like barely made it to second. And he was limping and dragging his foot. And like, that's just what happened to Alex Call. It was like when I watched Stroman get hurt years and years ago with the Jays, and he tore, I think it was his Achilles he tore, whatever it was. He was back later in that year playoff run. And you watched, and you're like, what the hell just happened? Now he tripped over equipment, sprinklers. But same deal. We were like, I don't know what just happened. So that's very sad. I'm very hopeful on the next one here. I've talked about him before. Obviously, there's a man crush going on between myself and Mr. Luken Baker, who was called up again by St. Louis, hit his 33rd home run of the year, first in the MLB of the year. I hope that he can stick around this time, Ben. I really feel like St. Louis is at a point in which their old guys are not able to perform at those peak levels that they did, you know, 3 and 4 years ago when they made their big trades. So you might want to be able to something you've struggled with in St. Louis for years and years, giving positions to new players. Let's find out if Luken Baker can do something with 150 at bats rest of season here. Really give him a shot every night. So Ben's catching up in the chats. Yeah, same to you, Govier. You take our damn button away. and then comments to be continued. Let's see what he does. Max Scherzer rehab start was scratched. That's not ideal. But we do know on the Darvish back, we had a struggling knuckleballer Matt Waldron demoted after a very bad stretch for him. And this happens with knuckleballers.
Yeah. But it was just all of a sudden, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, he went from like an 8-inning, 1-run game to the next start, he couldn't seemed to locate anything, and then it just continued for like 2 more starts, and they said, yeah, it's enough of that, because right now we're the hottest team in the league and you're the only pitcher that's losing for us, so you're gonna go down for a little bit. And you know, that's
what he did. So we'll see if he comes back and if he's able to have a couple good starts and really turn it around. Hopefully it was something going on with the hand, which we know with the knuckleballers, the nails is an incredibly important part of that, your cuticles. So we'll see if that's something that can be resurrected so his season isn't a loss, and then we're wondering what's happening moving forward with him. I believe this might be the end of Jason Hayward. He was DFA'd by the Dodgers.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Somewhere,
Carlos Zambrano is cursing his effing name, but you know, that's, you know, that.
Why is that? What's that connection?
Jason Hayward's first game in the major leagues was against Carlos Zambrano, and he hit a home run that I think landed during the middle of the Trump presidency. So, it was crushed, and Zambrano, like, I think it was 3-4 years later, cursed at Hayward as he's like coming up to the plate. He still remembers that.
That's so cool. Okay, next one up here, Mikey VA, who was chiming in earlier with some Braves talk. Well, here's a little bit of Baltimore talk for you. You moved a bunch of guys around within the organization, and most prominent of them was Trevor Rogers getting demoted to AAA. Now, this was the Connor Norby trade last month or earlier this month, where Baltimore was taking a chance on being able to do a tweak or two.
We don't have it on here, so I'm going to piggyback on this real quick.
Yeah, sure.
Xavier Edwards is on the IL and hurt. Okay. And due to that, Norby is getting full-time run now at the major league level. He was sitting in AAA right after the trade. They had just called him up, and he was getting playing time, but it was kind of that playing time level where you're like, I don't know if I want to commit to throwing this into my lineup for a week.
Doing to all their rookies.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, really, it was no different than when he was called up earlier this year for Baltimore too. And now, he's doing it. You know, he's really, and he's hit well for power, but he's looked like the guy we warned you about. He's gonna strike out a ton. And he's going to hit a whole lot of long baseballs. So,
well, he's not going to strike out if Trevor Rogers is pitching, because he's now in AAA.
This is true.
And I'm a little sad about this myself, because I thought, not that Baltimore is like pitching whiz, they're like prone to injure pitchers more than anything else, but this was an opportunity for somebody who could have got some good run this year and then been one of those like hot dynasty pickups next year. And of course, if you're a hot dynasty guy, then redraft is all over you, because they think you're going to be a top 30 type pitcher. So that's an SP too, I guess, if you're listening to a lot of the top 150, redraft focused podcasts. Mm-hmm. But for dynasty guys, anyone that's a top 20 pitcher is kind of your SP1. Beyond 20 to 50 is like an SP2 type, and go back. Rogers was never that guy. The only time he looked like that guy was that rookie season.
Yep.
But he's continued. And again, it's lefties always getting third chances. It was looking good for him. I'm really interested to know what Baltimore's going to do with him, because you can't realistically bury him now. And you don't want him to be organizational depth at the price you paid to get him.
And quite frankly, Cade Povich in the first start in that spot in the rotation looked good. I mean, it wasn't elite, but it was... He was facing, I think, the Astros, and pitched a solid ball game. You know, that's all you can ask out of. There's what you wanted your lefty in the rotation to be able to do for you, and Rogers wasn't able to do that, which is why he is now pitching in AAA.
Yeah, Detroit's made a few moves, including calling up Ty Madden, who's pitching tonight. I thought it was 2-zip. Maybe I looked at the wrong thing, but either way, he's in the lineup right now. You go have a look if you're listening, and of course, you can be joining us live at Palazzo Podcast.
Oh, facing your Jesus Take the Wheel pick from last week.
Yes. No, David, I think he's doing that tomorrow night. Oh, from last week. Yes, Martin.
Martin is up tonight.
This is, I believe, my final Martin pick, or if this is part of it for him, but I also have my next Jesus Take the Wheel. I mean, it all comes together, right? It's all full circle. The line from, is it Happy? Yeah, it's Happy Gilmore. I'll figure it out for next week. I'll make it a clip. I'll ask Govier if he can make it a clip, because I don't know how to do that. But we'll see if we can get it. Anyway, so Madden's up. I'm excited to see what the results are for him. Something good that I thought was good, I'm glad you mentioned it. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. Do you have a Madden?
I was just going to say, for Madden, just, I don't really have a take. This is a guy who I think is going to be kind of a mid, like a maybe a good 3, but more than likely a 4 or 5 type of guy. So, but this should give you some idea for next year. This should give you an idea of what he's got, how it plays against major leaguers, and where his adjustments need to come for next year. This is good for both fantasy owners and Detroit that he's up right now.
Yeah, I thought of him kind of like his teammate, Olson.
And yeah, Reese Olson.
What could they both be? And Olson was obviously doing an excellent job pre-injury this year. What will Madden do when he comes in? But here's a fun story. So this is one of those bloodline things. Mm-hmm. Griffin Conine, former second-round pick by Toronto. Miami has promoted him now at age 27. If you look back at the stats, you would say, oh, 20 home run potential. But the 268 average is his best average. Now, it's a AAA, of course. But it's his best average in four, really five seasons, you know, 2020 aside, since he was in A-ball. This is his best average. So I'm curious to know what Miami's going to do with him. It's great that he's up. We always want people to get opportunities. But I think over anything else, this is just like him not giving up and being able to, you know, now make it.
And
he's
you know,
been in the minors forever.
If you're a fan of the, I'm going to end up, you know, referencing another podcast, but you know, the Just Baseball Show, their prospect show. And, they were talking with Griffin Conine earlier this year, and the guy really is smart about his hitting. You know, I think folks say, oh, geez, you know, this is a early pick and he's only, you know, finally getting up to the majors. And you know what? Listening to him, he is one of those guys that has evaluated and is willing to make changes and is probably getting most of what he can get out of his talent at every level. And frankly, bloodlines, God, his dad was great at that. Like that's Jeff Conine was never an elite raw player, but God, he just got everything out of the talent that he had. And so, I mean, I could absolutely see Conine coming up and having two or three years where you're like, hey, all right, this is maybe a guy I want in like the, you know, Seth Brown 2023 type of role, or Brent Rooker. You know, Rooker's become more of a consistent guy, but like that type of a producer for your lineup.
Yeah, we'll see, because Miami does have a recent history of not giving good at bats to guys like that, like giving run, like legitimate run.
Chad mentioned Chris Carter,
it's totally. I agree, Chad.
I mean,
I think there's going to be some average concerns here.
I think that's not a bad comparison too.
But like it's one of two ways. You either have it's possible that he's done this. He's improved his two strike approach while still being able to hit for power before that second strike, or he's going to drop off a cliff with the average and get a couple home runs, and people are going to try to have to weigh that out for next year if that's going to have value. But either way, he's up. You know who's not? Nolan Gorman. Friendly reminder to everybody in fantasy that not all dreams come true, and just because a guy looks good out the gate, exactly, draft season. But again, Nolan Gorman is not dead, but we've seen him have this weird up and down season, and consistency is king in fantasy, unless you're in small leagues, and then you can just stream like a son of a gun. Speaking of streaming in big leagues, Cueto is starting for the Angels. He'll be starting tomorrow night against my Jesus Take the Wheel pick. He's back, baby. He's back. And it says a lot. I mean, I was kind of pissed because who was it they demoted at the time? It was a relief pitcher. Oh my goodness. Oh. He just went in our draft. Hans Kraus, I think that was the guy.
Oh, yep.
Who was pitching fine, but he wasn't a starter. Yeah. But he was pitching fine. Like, I'm not, you know, he's not whatever. He's getting an opportunity, I guess, to pitch in the major league. And then to give it to Cueto because you want a starter. Okay, sure. I mean, I guess they're at the point where they're giving Michael Fulmer starts. So they're really just trying to fill innings. And Cueto's going to do that on, I'm assuming, league minimum. So, okay, he's back. But, like, please, dear Lord, don't pitch well enough that we have to deal with him next year.
Since you brought him up, or since you brought up the Angels,
mm-hmm.
I just want to bring this up that in his last three starts, Jack Kakanowicz, Jack mm-hmm. K., 7.2, two earned runs. Six innings, two earned runs. Six innings, three earned runs. Yeah, he's not going to give you strikeouts. Three total strikeouts in those outings. But he's going to give you length and he's going to give you quality starts. I mean, a very heavy ground ball pitcher. It's been solid. I mean, he's, if you're looking for quality starts late at night here, or late in the
late
season,
at night.
Late at night.
Geez. If you're looking for some late night quality starts, head over to the Angels and Jackie K.
Sounds like our Palazzo Prospects ASMR channel. It's dark late in the evening.
Jeez, be careful. Otherwise, Goey is going to have us doing that. That's going to be our December.
Hey, there we go. Now, okay, just so watch our subscribers go through the roof, because those ASMR channels have like thousands and millions of freaking subscribers.
You're unintentionally selling us down this road. This is what our future is going to be. So I don't know exactly what this line is from it. Oh, there we go. Chad's saying the Braves-Twins game is going to resume in about 20-ish minutes.
Yep.
I don't know what this clip is, but this, I think, will help with the Jackie K getting K's doing things.
Fucking Roethlisberger, the quarterback, was all fucking hug it, chug it, football.
Nope, that was not it, and I did a football one. What am I thinking? It said hug it, chug it. I thought it was going to be something fun and exciting. Oh, my apologies to everybody. This is why I don't touch the buttons.
That was actually
the only button
fun.
That I see left that I really do like is
trying
this.
To say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball.
You know, other than that, I'm done. So anyway, speaking of hits,
speaking of not hitting a curveball,
What Deivison De Los Santos, DDLS, as you've got him in here with the notes, 35 home runs, legit shot at 40. If he's not called up, it could just be 40 on the year. And Ben, you're saying it's only been done twice in the last 10 years. That's 40 minor league home runs.
Yeah. 40 home runs in the minors has only been done twice, and it's been 41 and exactly 40 in the last 10 years. Now in 2014, two guys did it who are fairly notable. My mind is blanking on the, Chris Bryant and Joey Gallo did it both in 2014. But since those two, it's only happened twice. And one of them, I think, was either 15 or 16. It was pretty soon after that.
Jeez.
And that's going to be the tougher one to remember. But the most recent one was just 2021, and that was Whit Merrifield. Or not, criminy. No, not Whit Merrifield. Good Lord.
You have on the notes here. Can you
MJ Melendez. Melendez. I'm sorry.
Okay, I was going to say, you can't even name who it is.
My brain was on Royals, and I, seriously, for some reason, brought up Whit Merrifield. But
if you know the second guy, because obviously Ben doesn't, he thinks it's Whit Merrifield. If you know the second guy, put it in the chat, and we will give you props, we are giving props to Joey Votto, who is officially retired. Joey Votto, tip of the cap to you, sir. Congratulations on a storied career. Unfortunate it ended with the Buffalo Bisons, and Toronto didn't have the stones to call you up for a weekend series. But good for you. Much love. Joey Votto, one of the best baseball personalities we've seen the last 20 years.
Yeah.
You know,
and frankly, if he's not, I mean, he's retiring. He's going to maybe want some time to himself, his family, and he absolutely deserves that. And if he doesn't want to come back, cool. That's on him. But if he wants it, he would be amazing on a broadcast team.
Yeah.
I would love listening to what he has to say about the game, because he's just one of those guys that's a lot of fun. So we got, we got Darsh.
DJ Adarsh checking in.
And we got B. Henny checking in. And we got all of our crew.
Happy to see you. So, yeah, so with Votto out, it's sad. It was kind of due. He had weirdness after spring training where he didn't play for the longest time. Then he went to Buffalo. And I really did think Toronto would do the solid thing. They're not playing for anything. So you would have been able to sell a couple thousand extra seats to have people come with the opportunity over a weekend series to give him rounds of applause at the plate. Whatever happened, it didn't. Maybe he didn't want that. That's totally possible. You know,
I work with
an old guy who wants nothing to do with a retirement party. He wants to be done the day he's done. So I get it. But either way, we lost a good one in Votto. And for fantasy, I won't have to draft him anymore. So, you know.
Yeah. In all seriousness, because he was still a guy that you were willing to think about.
Yeah.
Even to the last day.
You never knew. So, Jesus Take the Wheel pick.
Jesus Take the Wheel.
I'm picking Brand Herter, Detroit starting pitcher.
Ouch.
And you're wondering who? 2021 seventh round pick. I'm doing the same thing I did with Davis Martin, which is a guy who's now going to start and has opportunity to stretch it on out legitimately. So he lines up against Cueto and the Angels. I do not believe he'll be back in on Sunday against Boston. So what that means is, unfortunately, he's going to take on a hot San Diego team in San Diego next Monday. I believe they're going to play that one. And then he's got Oakland at the on the weekend in Oakland. So two out of three starts against two of the worst lineups in baseball. Now, Oakland is, of course, hit or miss, depending on what Rooker's up to. But there might not be a better three-game stretch right now going around. And the fact that it's a guy who doesn't have official kind of starter mentality status out there in the world, if you are desperate this late in the season, if you're rotoing, you might want to get him. If you somehow snuck your arse into a playoff position and you need next week's two-game starter, that's your guy. That might be the guy to go get. You might want to see what he does tomorrow night before you start him against San Diego, but it could work out well. 3.57 ERA on the season, 17 and two-thirds innings pitched, 17 Ks, only one win in those, I think it's three appearances that he's got, but that's all right. So that's the guy. That's where we are in the season. I look forward to like going back over all of the guys I've picked this year, Ben, and then like seeing exactly how things worked out over their three start stretch since I picked them. There's going to be a good, bad, and ugly, but I think overall I have given opportunity in even 30 team leagues for people to be able to consider making these mistakes. It's almost like, you know, people talk about getting gombered. That is the Jesus Take the Wheel pick. It's like getting potentially getting gombered. And even Ty, my former Dingers co-host, was talking to me yesterday about somebody to start on Sunday. And he said, I am not starting Gomber against the Yankees. And I said, well, there's nothing more exciting with the season on the line than starting a Colorado starter, which he didn't do. And I believe Gomber did get his tits lit. So it makes sense. But yeah, that's the guy, Brant Herter with Detroit. So
we do have one legit
Chad guess, checking in. He's got it. Yeah.
But that's not correct.
Oh.
So what I'm going to, and I'll just say it just so we can get her done. But, and in fact, he was teammates with a guy who had one of the more impressive call up partial seasons of recent note. Dylan Cousins, who that year was.
I forgot about Cousins.
40 home runs.
Yeah.
And on that team that same year was Rhys Hoskins, who finished second in the minors in home runs with like 38 or 39 that year. So
that was not the year that Hoskins got called up at the end, because then Hoskins would have had like 50 or whatever.
I think the next year that he got called up. But yeah, that was.
Oh, wow. Cousins, man. What a. Like he was almost there, right? Like
He was just kind of that quintessential 4A slugger for a number of years. And you're like, oh, he's going to make it this year. Oh, well, maybe this year. And never, every time he got an opportunity, it was lots of strikeouts and not showing any of the power.
Yeah, which, that is. Hey,
quick mention. Because I just, it's fun. Jokensi Noel has really been hitting the crap out of baseballs for Cleveland. And we had this talk on the Mike and Govier, and I had this talk on the podcast maybe 2 weeks ago on who is the Aristides Aquino this year. Mm-hmm. That might be your guy. Noel, Cleveland is realizing, hey, they kind of need some power. And lo and behold, they're getting it from him. He is a legit power source, and he's hitting enough. There's still a lot of swing and miss, but he's hitting enough. So it's just something to keep your minds open to as we get into, you know, before we start talking guys that you really need to know from complex ball. That was my last, you know, major league guy to bring up for you.
Yep, that's a good way to end it. We are moving now to the main topic, which we didn't even mention off the top of the show because we just wanted to get talking about Alex Call that quickly. And then you, son of a bitch, you and Mike VA, I'm sure we're talking about it before. Okay, Mike, no, so I need you to message right away with some Braves talk. And you just throw anything out there. I just want to piss Robbie off. That's all I'm looking to do. And it worked, you bastard. So anyway, the main topic for tonight, if you didn't check the title of this, if you're listening on the podcast, you would have seen it already. It's Complex League Legends, or whatever we ended up calling it. Something about Complex League Studs. I mean, studs, yeah. We could have went with Legends. It just, you know, it logistically looks more better, technically speaking. But anyway, we've got five pitchers from each league, five hitters from each league, and whoever else we choose to mention tonight. You are not going to hear fewer players that you know on any other podcast than what we, the guys we are about to talk about right now, because we are talking about low level signings. We do, of course, have some highly touted guys scattered in amongst, but this is like your lunch box, lunch bag, your ragtag, your blue collar. These are guys getting it done right now that are not all millionaires, bonus babies right here. So we do lead off with a bonus baby, so maybe I should have waited till after I was done with him. Pittsburgh starting pitcher, 2023 second-round pick, Xander Muth. This was a high school guy. I think he's like 6'8". I think he's a huge human, if I'm not mistaken. But in 12 starts, 51 and a third innings pitched, 56 Ks. He does have 26 walks. They're not all perfect. A 1.26 whip. This has been an excellent full season here.
Yeah.
You know, 13 appearances, 12 starts. This is what you want out of a rookie pitcher.
Yeah. And this is a guy, just for your big human, 6'6", 200 coming out of high school.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen, you know, it's one of those where whatever he is in high school, he is until he gets to he gets to the majors. Then they go, right. Oh,
they're not going
to
update it.
I'll be darned.
You grew 3 inches.
Yeah, you grew 3 inches and you're either 20 pounds lighter or 40 pounds heavier. But no, really loved watching him as a high schooler because I love the guys who can vary their arm slot and still maintain everything else about their delivery. Because he goes all the way from three quarters to almost completely sidearm, and he hits kind of every angle in between there with all of his three pitches, which is really, you don't see that a ton. I mean, quite frankly, right now, about the only guy you see doing it in the majors is Rich Hill, and that's because Rich Hill has like an 85-mile-an-hour fastball. So,
and he just arrived also, Rich Hill. Rearrived.
Yeah, he's rearrived for like the 12th time. But yeah, no, and that's, yeah, I love seeing what he did this year, and it just adds to a very, very deep Pirates pitching system.
Mm-hmm.
Because of course
this is a slow burn, right? Like there's the guys, the college guys that can move quick. This is a slow burn. He had 51 and a third innings pitched. That's perfect. I feel like he might start back there next year or go to full season. And then, you know, well, either way, they're going to aim for probably 20 starts for him next year.
And they brought him up to A ball after this complex season was done. Hasn't gone as well.
Which is fine. And end of season, end of whatever.
Maybe he's striking out more than a batter an inning.
Yeah.
That's what you want to see. You know, he's still striking out more than a batter in an inning. You'll take that. It's not ideal, but it's, you know, sure, I'll take that. That's he's right now on the season, it's 42 walks and 69 strikeouts. That doesn't look all that great. But you know what? For a young arm in his first full season, you know, you'll take that, send him back down to Bradenton to start next year, and yeah, you've got such depth in that system right now. You can let him be the slow burn, which, boy, isn't that nice.
Yeah, I'm just double checking my spelling on the next guy because I feel like he's not showing up, but he's real. Nelfry Yinfante, and that's Y-N-F-A-N-T-E, St. Louis starting pitcher. I'm sure I had it right. I was just trying to check his age, which I think was 19 or 20. He was the K leader. 52 innings pitched. Sorry, the K leader in the Florida Complex League. So we've got it broken down by Florida Complex Leagues and Arizona Complex Leagues. So these are the Florida guys we're talking about right now. When we're midway through each category, we'll go back to what we're actually talking about and just fill you in later on. Basically, as we remember, if we remember, we'll tell you. But this is the K leader, 62 Ks, 52 innings pitched, a 3.19 ERA. St. Louis guy. I mean, nothing better than a St. Louis sleeper pitcher, I think.
And they actually have quite a few of them right now. And but he's a guy who
this list.
He's been a very slow burn sort of guy this year. 2022, 2023, he was in the DSL, decent numbers, but obviously they didn't see enough to bring him stateside in the after the first year. Waited a second year, then brought him stateside, and he has moved into the bullpen now in A ball, and made 5 appearances, and still pitching very well. He's going to end up having even better stats by the time the season's over. So yeah. You know, 71 strikeouts and 60 2/3 innings right now on the overall season. That's a nice year. But
yeah,
really skinny guy.
Spell it right. It's not coming up on Baseball Reference.
No, I got the. If you just type in the last name, for some reason, Nelfi doesn't want to. Is it Nelfi or do you have Nelfri?
That's why
it's Nelfi. No R. N E L F Y.
Oh. N-E-L-F-Y. Why, people? Why did I make that mistake? Thank you for correcting me, Ben. Okay, because what I want to know was, yes, he is 19. One of the things I was looking at for some of these guys is, so they say 18 or 19, or a couple of the guys tonight say 20. So I was trying to figure out when did they turn or when will they turn that next one? So Nelfi, which of course is spelled N-E-L-F-Y, of course, he will turn 20 in 5 months. So we're good. This is the age 19 season for him. Next year at A-ball, presumably at A-ball, he'll be 20. He's all age correct for what he's doing. And again, third pro season. And he seems to be coming into his own, as you said, right? Yeah. Like the three, he's picked up his first career save at A-ball. So that's great. We'll see what they do with him beyond. He's, you know, 6'3" righty. So we like this. It'd be better if he was a 6'4" lefty and out of high school, but they can't all be, right? The next guy up here, there's two ways
to pronounce. You got those coming up.
Yeah, of course I do. There's two ways to pronounce the last name here. You got Jeremy Pilon or Pilon, and it's probably Pilon. This is starting pitcher for Tampa Bay, an 18-year-old 18th round pick by Toronto in 2022, didn't sign, and then an 18th round pick in 2023 by Tampa Bay, he did sign. 42 2/3 innings pitched, 61, count them folks, 61 strikeouts, 3.28 ERA. He was then promoted and had, at the time I wrote this down, 4 innings pitched with no runs allowed. And wait, what's that? He's Canadian. Oh my God. We've got a guy here. I'm just trying to show my Canadian flag. There it is. alert with, again, like the Blue Jays tried to draft him. He still went to his college commitment, I'm guessing. And then next year signed with Tampa Bay. Not sure how that worked when he would have been like 17 and signing.
He didn't go to college though. It was, there is a thing. And yeah, Mr. Canadian, not knowing this here.
Well,
there is something with Canadian high school that allows for eligibility and still one more year of Canadian high school.
I'll tell you what it is. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Depending on where you are in the country, you can take a fifth year. It used to be called OAC in Ontario, which was Ontario Academic Credits. It's fondly referred to as a victory lap because you don't really do a whole lot. But if you're an elite athlete, I'm assuming like Jeremy here, then you take that fifth year and it's completely normal because for the longest time, you Americans, you had your 4 years and you sent your children off to school. But in Canada, we had that fifth year, especially in Ontario.
He changed high schools.
Well, okay. The plot thickens.
I you're talking French pronunciation here. So
he is a Quebecois. Yes, he is from the province of Quebec, which did once upon a time try to become its own. They tried to separate and become their own independent country. Maybe that's why there's a rule in place for Quebec players. But either way, this is a find here. An 18th round pick from last year who's had an excellent debut season and got a promotion at the end of it. I don't know how much stock you want to put into it until we see what happens with him next year. Tampa Bay should probably keep him at A ball. I mean, it seems you don't want to promote a guy end of year to throw him back because that hurts. But I like it.
And he's two starts.
This could be fun money.
Seven innings in A ball since the end of the complex season, but and walk issues, but 14 strikeouts in those seven innings. So that's likely facing a lot of draft guys. Who have been bumped up to the A ball leveled this year. I like his overall mix. I mean, it's nothing. It's kind of your prototype back end lefty mix, low 90s fastball that he has good deception on. He has a really pretty curve, you know, the nice looping curve, and really has good feel for a changeup. That's like your perfect left-handed prototype for a back-end left-handed starter. Yeah. And that's
Tampa Bay can get those. They get those guys. They find a way with those guys.
I mean, this is a guy that if he was in St. Louis, I'd be like, so this is a left-handed Kyle Gibson. You know, that's kind of the profile that you've got really set up here. It's just a matter of developing all the way through.
Yeah. So we'll end the Canadian and crack one out for him. Cheers to you. although I am drinking an American Miller High Life, it is the champagne of beer. So forgive
me.
We'll move to the next guy here. Yordi Herrera, a left-handed pitcher for St. Louis. Oh my God. Is this a left-handed Kyle Gibson? He's 6'2", but he's 150, which doesn't sound good for bones. 31 innings pitched. Or sorry, do I have that right? No, 31 innings pitched, 59 Ks. That was my mistake there. And a 2.84 ERA. 18 walks was not ideal in 31 innings. But hey, we're at a low level. We want results that we can bank on, that we can be happy about. And Yordi Herrera throwing in just 31 innings, throwing 59 Ks. I don't know if this was the guy on the list who was not the starter. I think in the
He was pure reliever all year, 18 appearances now between rookie ball and A ball. But this is another one. Cardinals, we talked about this with Infante. 2 years in the DSL, and now here's his first year stateside. They've figured out his role. He's excelled in it. And, you know, there you go.
Let's see what he does at A ball next year.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, this is going to be, just to get into it, 20 in December. So
perfect. So this is an age 19 season, perfectly fine results. Obviously, you'd love a starter, but there's nothing wrong with a guy like this who can be a watch for you in Dynasty.
I will say 6'2", 150 as a reliever, I can maybe live with a little more. If you want that guy to go 6'2", 150 ain't going to do it. But
yeah, very true. Yeah. next one up here, Juan.
Oh, sorry. Govier's saying, "Where's our man Eddie?" Which, you know, he is right. We haven't heard from our man Eddie Buzz yet tonight. So
that's right. I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
What's the name that he's been given? Eddie's like he's not the commissioner of our chat. He's something though. We need our boy. And this is the YouTube chat, which of course everybody is always welcome to find us on the YouTubes. I'm going to very quickly do a check because I've been trying my best not to update pressure whatever people, but I want to know our subscriber numbers right now.
Sheriff,
thank you. Well, turn off my mic when I'm listening to this. We are at 839 subs, so we are going to need to pump. Those are rookie numbers. We need to pump those numbers up, people. We are on the march to 1,000, and we need you.
If you do not subscribe,
oh my God,
Govier is going to make us do prospect ASMR in the off season. So, I mean, subscribe now.
Well, I think this is a tough time of the year because it's football season for the amateurs, and it's the time when championships are won in fantasy baseball. So less listening, more doing, you know?
This is the time that you pick up that guy that wins you a dynasty championship.
Absolutely.
And right here, we're talking about the guys that you're going to pick up now are going to go to Dominican Winter League, pitch like crazy, and somebody's going to be begging for that player because he's coming into spring training as the hot new prospect that no one knew about.
You know who they're going to be begging for? They're going to be begging for Juan de la Cruz, the right-handed pitcher from Miami. The 19-year-old, 6'3", 180, oh my God, I'm hard, 159 ERA, 46 innings pitched, a decimal 9.78 whip, 44 Ks and 21 walks. He was in A last year, demoted for 2024, and he is now settled in. He's back up in A ball. But Juan de la Cruz, at 19 years old, has already done something that completely screws other pros up, and that is take a demotion and turn it into a second promotion. So I like Juan de la Cruz here. I think Juan has a future with Miami, and at 6'3", 180, at 19 years old, there's room for development here. It's a matter of, are they going to keep him starting, or are they going to move him more so to the pen?
This is if I'm remembering this right, and I'm just going off my memory here, that this is a heavy sinker slider guy, and kind of your prototype Tanner Houck build, where you're, you know, really strong slider, really strong sinker that can work. But we saw also with Tanner Houck that eventually you need to figure out something that moves a different direction. You know,
he's young enough to have time to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And another guy, third year, in development, but you know, March of next year before he turns 20. So still in the right age completely to be in A ball. So,
well, and yes, and to the point of he was up and demoted last year. Remember what happened with Miami Arms last year, you know, Sandy Alcantara leading the way with injuries. They had a shortage of arms in the organization, and now they are back to square and won within the demotion and re-promotion, second promotion. He's going to stick up now with in A ball, and then we potentially we could see him in, oh my God, what is it? The Flying Carp. He could be a member of the team I saw play. Oh my goodness. Why can't I remember the name?
No.
Thank you. Yes. Beloit Flying Carp. Yeah. I was just going to say, I was wearing the Tilly hat I got when I went to their game last month, and I couldn't remember the actual name. I just kept thinking the Supper Clubbers is not their name. So, but yeah, so that's it for FCL pitchers. We can now go to the Arizona Complex League pitchers here at minute 45. Adarsh
says that Chef calls, we answer.
That's right. And Adarsh, the schedule will be going out on Wednesday, and you should be happy to know we've moved you up towards the top because we like you and you follow Palazzo Podcast. So there are professional benefits, people, to following along here.
This is the Palazzo Podcast. Up next after the break, Ben reveals his top 1,000 Atlanta Brave prospects in order.
For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world. From the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with the moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
So ACL pitchers, the guy we're going to start off with, I feel like we talked about him, two weeks ago.
Cleveland's we were draft talking strategy. About the trade.
This guy, this is your Cy Young winner in the ACL this year, if you got one.
Yeah.
Jacob
Bresnahan.
I'm so close. Knew it started with an S. Left-handed pitcher, 6'4", 200 pounds.
This is Robbie's. Yeah.
Oh, my God. From Juan de la Cruz. Yeah, I just remain El Stiffo. 2.54 ERA in 11 starts, 46 innings pitched, which is not, I mean, you would have liked to see over 50, but it's whatever. It's complex league. We'll take it. 63 Ks, though. And the two best parts of this, Ben, 16 walks, totally manageable. Only two home runs given up. He was better than the league. His stuff was better than his competition. Oh, yeah. And then he was, of course, traded from Cleveland to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
He's been struggling heavily with San Jose, but that's,
yes, he has,
you know, Cal League is Cal League. It's not a fun place to go if you're trying to learn life.
Post trade later in the year, a lot of things have changed, but in the complex league,
I remember what I wanted to bring up since you have Bresnahan on here. Nate Fuhrman was announced today as the player to be named later in that deal, who is going to San Francisco from Cleveland. And I mean, that is a prototype for San Francisco that they seem to like. This guy, you know, Tyler Fitzgerald is the maximization of that prototype. This guy that can play a lot of positions around the field and might end up being a guy who is a platoon guy. But if he can get just a little bit more and squeeze just a little bit more out of that juice, it's a high floor, can do a lot of things type of guy, but you know, there's
which
still
is odd considering it didn't Cobb get hurt.
Yeah. And so he's not pitching. So they ended up getting a fairly decent.
Yeah. What the hell were they going to give up that this was like the second, you know, like, you know, because you assume like, oh, if he gives us five starts, we'll give you whatever. Right.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. So how is it that you still gave up a second asset of use? I mean, I guess Kikuchi went for a whole bunch, according to everybody in Houston. So we don't quite know yet. But either way, Bresnahan had been excellent, as you said. The struggles have now went at the second level, but that's okay. We're going to see what happens next year. And his stock is 100% rising this offseason. So it might not get to the level of the next guy who, 6 months ago, was quite high up here. Seattle on the board, people. Jeter Martinez, right-handed pitcher, 18 years old, 6'4". Whew. in 39 and two-thirds innings pitched, 49 Ks. That's 11 starts for the guy, but 31 walks, and he hit five batters. So we got some control issues. I will say this right now. The ACL, and that is the league we're talking about, Arizona Complex League, mm-hmm. the pitchers, not as beautiful and shiny. I had to find a few more ways to make us happy about it. But Martinez was worthy of mention because at age 18, you know, he's got that nice K to nine. He did start 11 times. Like there's things we're going to find with some of these guys.
Doesn't turn 19 until February. So I mean, this is a true age 18.
Yeah. These are guys of note, you know, pitcher. Yeah. Brezhnahan was the ace of the league here. So, but we got more guys to talk about still. Either way, Martinez is up. Bright future, Ben. Do you think that anything that happened this year gives you reason to worry? Five hit batters could have all been over, drunken weekend, right? Somebody let him sift a little bit. You know, he went.
In all seriousness, I think he's going to be a guy that he's a slow burn. I mean, there's good.
Yeah.
There's height, and he filled in a ton this year, which I kind of wonder if it's not a matter of everyone was the videos and pictures you saw from him last year and pre-signing, he was like skin and bones. And then this year he's got some legit, I mean, he's filled in, he had wide shoulders, wide hips. He's filled in to where this guy looks like maybe he'd be like a high school tight end type of build at this point. You know, I don't know that I think he's listed at like 185 or 180 or something like that. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he's still right around two and maybe under it. Mm-hmm. But he's filled in. And quite frankly, if he started to get some of his man muscle in, he might be trying to figure out how to pitch with that. And that's.
Yeah. A million things could be happening this year with him too, right? Like he's now, you know, he's officially in the program with Seattle, right? So he's getting dietary things. And at complex leagues, I believe, and I don't know this for fact, but I believe it, when you're in complex leagues, your meals are all set in the same, you know, like you are eating within the team structure. So you're not having to go home and make your ramen. I believe that might be a thing here. But again, we've talked about this before, especially in the offseason. When you are investing millions of dollars in your minor league players as individuals and your facilities, tens of millions and things like that, it seems like the dumbest thing in the world to not have people who are helping to feed these players. We have companies who make meals for you and I to order that will get shipped to our door. And we are just guys for elite athletes that teams are trying to turn into, you know, World Series champions. Would they not go out of their way to have team chefs and things like this to really get these players' nutrition locked and loaded in? And maybe that's what's happening to Martinez this year, is this is a transition year for him where all of his prospect pedigree is getting a slight, very slight tarnish to it because he didn't have, you know, Brezhnahan numbers here. But at the same time, he's in a whole new situation for himself. Mm-hmm. And next year, he's just going to, you know, pick right up where he finished this year, which is on a positive note. So I just want to put that out there because we do have the next guy up who I'm just going to say the exact same thing about.
Hyun-Suk Jang.
This is the Dodgers. This is the guy that would have been like the 1-1 in, I think it would have been the KBO draft.
And it's something that their 1-1 the year before, I believe, is now, or no, I think it was the guy who would have been the number one pick in the NPB draft the same year is now at Stanford.
Right.
So
yes, the slugger, yeah. Right? Yes,
that's right. Very, very interesting to me that both of the top prospects from Asia left to come stateside, and the one went to U.S. college, the other one got signed, and
signed
really
late.
Nice year.
Yeah, at age 20 season, he's 6'4", 24, but 24 and 1/3 innings pitched. That's trying to transition the player properly. That's doing a lot of work without stats, but in the in-game stats, 24 and 1/3 innings pitched, 49 Ks. Holy crap. He gave up 4 home runs. That's okay. That's going to happen. That's nothing to worry about. He hit 4 batters. Okay, nerves, whatever. 19 walks. Obviously, that's what they're working on. but yeah. He started 10 times as well. Now, obviously, he didn't go more than three innings in you know, half of those, because he only ended up with 24 and a third and a 1.52 whip. The stat line doesn't look good. The reason why I think this is a really important one is that any dynasty guy who was really smart 1 year ago and was like, I'm picking up this guy, he's going to be elite, da-da-da, they're going to look at this line. They're going to be like, oh, the K is good. And then they're going to see the rest of it and be like, oh, my goodness. And I think his ERA is like six something. Like, he's high. It's all ugly. But it's ugly on the surface. But you got to consider what's happening, because this was a project the Dodgers drafted, not a polished college hitter. So and I think this is an easy dynasty buy this offseason.
He's been better.
Oh, yeah, he's promoted also.
Yeah, better since he got promoted, which is rarity. Still making short starts. So, I mean, you're talking, you know, 8 1/3 innings over three starts, but a 3.24 ERA.
Right.
Only three hits allowed in those 8 1/3 innings.
That's nice.
13 strikeouts, still six walks. Not great, but, you know.
They can't hit it because it's not over the plate.
You know, and seriously, on his year, a 172 average combined.
Oh, right. Okay. Well,
That's a solid. But here's the thing, I love this guy is just he legit works with six pitches. It's a
right, it's which is a thing.
Upper 90s fastball, and he has a four seam and a sinker, and then he has a curve, he has a slider, he has a sweeper, he has a traditional changeup, and he has a split change. So that's actually technically, if you want to get into it, they say that he's got. You know, you might say that he's got five pitches, but, you know, if you get into the fact that the sinker and the four seam are two different pitches and the changeup, he's got a regular change and a split, you could actually be talking more like, you know, seven pitches this guy right. is throwing. So it's a legit thing to try to put all those pitches together, plus make a stateside debut. So, I mean, it's a lot of pressure on a kid in his first ever appearance. And there's $900,000 signing bonus last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of pressure for a pitcher. I mean, because we're so used to, I think, the $4 million international signing bonus that we're like, oh, well, less than a million, he's probably just another Joe Schmo. For a pitcher, if you're around a million, you're pretty hot stuff in the international market.
Fact that he gave up all that 1-1 status,
oh, yeah.
right? Like, he gave up the 6 years of potential development to be a major league pitcher. And Hanil Choi Absolutely. Is the other example in the Dodgers organization who did the same thing. I think he's Taiwanese, if I'm not mistaken. Doesn't matter. It's just an international pitcher that also chose that route. Mm-hmm. Highly coveted guy, did the same thing. Hopefully we'll see some success but even though the year-end numbers aren't going to be delicious, this is good. This is a good pitcher who had a fine debut season. So next up here, this is an unknown Yervis Alfaro. That's J-E-R-V-I-S. He's a 20-year-old right-handed pitcher with Cleveland in 42 and two-thirds innings, 3.38 ERA, 48 Ks, 1.05 whip. And just because he's a Cleveland pitcher, you know, he only gave up 8 walks. Nice now, season.
He's matched that since he's gotten to A ball, but it's still a 4.32 ERA and 16 and two thirds over four starts. Take that all day long.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, yeah, he's walked a little bit more, but he's learning how his stuff plays. And yeah,
and this is fine.
Yeah.
Again, in the Arizona League, it was hard to find some guys to really get into that I thought had potential in the future. I feel like Alfaro's under that sleeper category right now, dynasty sleeper.
And just to think about this, you're bringing up, this is the second guy who would have pitched with the Cleveland ACL team, because Bresnahan was there before getting promoted at the end of the season before he got traded.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're going to talk about another Cleveland guy. Boy, boy, that would have been just fun to face that team as fear.
Yeah, imagine like the three dudes, right? Like your weekend series sucks. Hernandez. Now, if you weren't a big fan of a 20-year-old righty in complex, how about a 19-year-old lefty who's 6'4"? So he was 4-0 in the league, 4.03 ERA, only three starts, but 48 Ks, 11 walks, and a 1.21 whip. Mm-hmm. So just because you don't start doesn't mean much, because we've seen it with a few guys in MLB where you just follow a starter. They also do piggyback situations with some guys here. So maybe initially he was thought of as more filler within the organization, you know, but now it seems to me as though this is somebody to have a look at here.
I think he took a year. His first year in the DSL 2022, I'm just looking at this, and 5.94 ERA, 38 walks in 33 and a third innings. Then goes back to the DSL the next year and posts a 3.71, which isn't, you know, amazing, but 43 and two-thirds innings, only 19 walks. So halves the walks and 44 strikeouts, so more than a strikeout an inning. I think it's still high. It's still more than 10% walk rate, but he went from basically about a 20 to 25% walk rate to a 10 to 11% walk rate. That's a huge step. And then they said, oh, okay, now we can bring you stateside. And in complex, he was fine. He was excellent. And zero home runs given up. He's now given up two in A-ball, but still zero home runs in all of his complex time. That's pretty darned impressive.
Yeah. Certainly somebody who, with a good 2025, all of a sudden he's going to start to appear. Because, again, there's reasons why Cleveland has been able to draft a lot of their, promote a lot of guys from within. Now, this year is the exception because of a lot of injuries where they've brought pitchers in. But typically they've only brought in your Thors trying to help to, you know, resurrect. Your Spencer Howard this year was because of injury, bringing in Cobb, other players that they traded for, injury related stuff. They've got a great track record of promoting from within prior to all these injuries, and they could be continuing it with, you know, I mean, they've traded Bresnahan, but Alfaro and Hernandez both fit the mold of potential long range plans here. So we are now moving to back to the Florida Complex League, and we are going to be hittering. So first one up here, if you were curious, he was not on Fantrax. I put in a thing to say, add this man to Fantrax, as well as the next guy. No, not the next guy below. One of the other guys below. But Nomar Fana. Govier, are you listening? This is a Detroit right fielder. This does not sound right. Complex league. He was 21 years old. 291 average, 10 ding dongs, 15 stolen bases. 44 walks, 57 Ks, a 943 OPS. He's been promoted to A-ball and now on the struggle bus. He'll be 22 in about a month. So I don't like this from a age progression standpoint here, but this was somebody who was able to exceed the complex league and now he's in A-ball. Next year, maybe he'll unlock some crazy power or something, but this is a really good guy in FCL.
So I'm pulling this up here just because I wonder.
Did he have an injury to miss? Is that what you're wondering?
Well, no, because his first season was 21, and I wonder if he wasn't. Oh, he actually wasn't. Okay, so he was. He was signed. He would have been the international class that would have signed July of 2019. And then he actually signed in February of 2020. So then he lost what would have been his debut season in 2020.
Why? What happened?
And then, but it did take him 2 years in the DSL.
Yep.
To get here. And, you know, though, numbers are solid. He plays all around the outfield. So I mean,
he's solid. Like his player pitcher is like broad shouldered, big bodied guy, and he stole 15 bags with that.
Like so you don't want him coming into second to break up a double play.
No, certainly not.
But
if you're the catcher, you take an extra step forward if he's coming behind. Yeah,
switch hitter too. That's another thing. You know, those are always.
I did not see that.
Gives you another path to potential success, if you want to put it that way. But yeah, I. one of those guys,
26, 27 year old guy who's at AAA and kicks around for a year or two. As he could be one of the minor league free agent guys who eventually Dermis Garcia was once upon a time with the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this
and you know. Andre Shaparro, who's now with the Nationals. Okay, there you
go. Yeah, yeah, he's a much better. Yeah, much
minor
better
league idea. Free agent who's now hitting cleanup for the Nationals. So,
yep.
Pretty solid life to be hitting cleanup behind James Wood and Dylan Cruz. I'm just saying. You know?
Right. Yeah. So next guy with definitely more prospect hype here, Yonny Severino, Pittsburgh shortstop, 19 years old this year in Florida, 291 average, 12 stolen bases, a 918 OPS in 189 at bats. I think he was a 2023 J2. Maybe it was 2022 J2.
With the Brewers. Got traded.
Yeah, okay, so he was part of a trade. And it looks like he's ready to move on. I don't know if he was promoted. Yep. I did not write it in, but yeah, I assume.
I was just looking that up and been hitting the crap out of the ball, but also been striking out a lot since he got promoted. So, you know, but striking out a lot, I guess, will make this better. He had struck out at about a 15% rate in A-ball. Or in complex,
yep.
And he's striking out at about a 25% rate in A-ball. So striking out a lot more than he had, but certainly that's not going to kill you by any.
Yeah, he didn't go up to 45%.
Yeah,
so which is great. So he's I forget what his roster percentage was on Fantrax. Like it's single digits, but I don't know if it was 5 or 2. And but
split almost even between third and short this year. So that's a little interesting. Okay. That, you know, not sure which way they plan to develop him, but. You know, they just announced that they're going to start playing O'Neill Cruz in center field.
Oh my goodness.
Which, you know, but Nick Gonzalez is going to have shortstop eligibility next year, folks.
Oh, good.
That's who's going to come, you know, with him coming back. Actually, no, I believe that the plans are IKF is going to play some shortstop, which.
Oh, okay. And he's got a contract for next year, too. Yeah. So, okay, so let's do something that I hate to do. Let's talk about a Yankee prospect. But here's the name. Angulf Urania.
I was just going to say, careful how you say that one.
Yeah. E-N-G-E-L-T-H Urania.
You might be talking about how Yankee Stadium smells. I mean, oh, wait, what? Anyway.
So he's 20 years old. And I don't know exactly why I wrote the stats this way, but 24 walks, 19 strikeouts. So this is a smart hitter, 8 ding dongs, 5 stolen bases, a 301 average, ball in play guy here in 133 at bats. That's a great walk percentage. That is a very nice, you know, 15-ish K percentage. But 20 years old, I believe he's been promoted. I should have probably written that in, but I was excited to just keep it to complex league stats.
No, he's only been in complex. But
okay, so he did not get a promotion. Okay.
He was, here's why, is to say he was a fairly, well, he wasn't the big time part of that class, but that 2022 Yankees class that had Roderick Arias, and I believe. Was that Kiner Delgado too, maybe even?
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, it was a big class that they had where a lot of depth, but he was part of that. Okay. And then had a solid DSL start and then blew out his knee.
And he missed okay.
All
so that's why
of
he's
23.
There.
And then he Makes came sense. Back. So I wonder if maybe he's now played all year and they're going to say, okay, now you've put 40 games on that knee. Take some time, let it rest. We'll see you back for full season next year.
I am going to very quickly. I'm looking up on old fun tracks here. It helps spelling, you know.
But I find it impressive that you picked a guy who has almost even catcher and first base numbers this year.
Okay, so I did call him a first baseman. I looked into it, and so I had to go to two sites, right? He popped up first as a catcher, and I'm like, no, not doing it. And then I think I clicked on the player page, and it said catcher first base, and then I looked at games. I'm like, oh, yeah, for sure. If you're going to move a guy off, you're going to do it at this age. He's obviously must be struggling to catch. That's why I assumed he was doing first base. But the surgery also makes – sorry, the injury also makes sense.
And either way – it looks like, according to – Baseball America's preseason team list, you know, above average hit and above average power, but he also has an above average arm. So if he's back fully healthy and it's going to look, he's 5'11", 200, that could be a left fielder. I mean, if he's got enough of an arm to where he could play somewhere other than first, they might figure out somewhere other than first to put him. But, you know, I'm pretty sure it says he's a 40 run and 40 field. And that would have been, you know, for a guy who hadn't yet played his 19-year-old season. So if you're a teenager and you got a 40 run grade on you, pretty sure you're going to be playing a position that's going to require a lot out of your bat.
Right. I'm trying to find him here. I think I was just in a draft room, and that's why he wasn't popping up. I just want to tell the people what his rostered percentage is, because it's, there we go. He does come up on Fantrax. 1% rostered, comes up as a catcher. He's only rostered in one league that I am in for Dynasty, and I feel like he must have been taken very recently in that league. So either way, that's a watch guy. This is somebody who you can't go get, and I can't imagine after this year you're going to be able to get without a major investment. Starling Caba with the Phillies, the 18-year-old, 37 stolen bases, 51 walks, both led the FCL, 34 strikeouts for the year and 173 at bats. He also happened to have himself a 427 OBP.
Surprised you didn't pick his teammate.
Which one?
Where am I? Tate. Catcher. Oh, that's why. So, I was just like giving you crap because, you know,
I was looking for league leaders towards the end of it, because I wanted to see some guys that really dominated in the league.
Yeah,
but yeah, Caba just like hell of a season here. Yeah,
that Phillies FCL team with Caba and Tate, was, if you could get watching that, and then, you know, we were kind of mentioning pre-show having a guy like Eric Birdland that you can look up his coverage of the FCL. Yep. That's amazing stuff, because he puts out really good stuff on all of the FCL prospects. And man, the videos he'd have when he had some Philly games, those were impressive to watch. Those boys, they're different. The ball sounds different coming off their bat. They play different. They have a different feel for the game. Yeah, it's fun to watch really fun prospects at that level.
Yeah, especially when they're able to run, like they take a walk and then they steal second base. Like
switch hitter, 5'9", 160. I mean,
beautiful.
I like it. You know, it's kind of an old school prototype shortstop build. And that's, right, you know, where he's still playing. I think he probably sticks up the middle, but yeah, you just amazing year so far. And yeah, not hitting so great in low A since he's been promoted, but still 13 walks, 11 strikeouts in 88 plate appearances. So more walks than strikeouts. So
get on base, sort it out as you go. You'll get your confidence with your walks. As long as you could take your walks, you should be able to find something good to come out of, you know, a series or a tough couple days. Last guy up here with the FCL hitters is Franklin Arias with Boston. Shortstop, 18 years old. I mean, 355 average. He led the league. 6 home runs, 34 walks, 36 Ks, 471 OBP. Ready for the move up. Boston's got some talent in the lower system. Yeah. As much as I hate it,
they've had a lot of pop-ups this year, and he's definitely in that group, and has been solid since he got called up. 222 average, but the rest you'd take. You know, he's got 221, 221, 302, 327. So that's, you know, for a guy who's legit 18, getting his first exposure to full season ball and not being overwhelmed, that's pretty stinking impressive. So yeah, I'm really impressed with him. I don't know if he's a shortstop long term. He played short this year. They did play him quite a bit at second, and I think he probably fits better at second base long term. I don't know if the arm is such that he's going to be a shortstop as he keeps going up, and especially if they've got guys like Marcelo Meyer.
Right. Yeah. Where are you like going to move him around? And again, maybe that's like his fate to be determined based on what he does over the next 2 years, where they're going to move him around to. I was just looking, man, 18%. Arias is 18% rostered. I think it said 18% rostered on Fantrax, only owned in two of my dynasty leagues. And in one of them, oddly enough, in our auction, we made a new rule this year that you could take anybody on a 5-year contract. It didn't matter if they were a rookie or not. Typically, you've always had to be free agency is just for veterans. But we were like, let's open it up because you never know if somebody wants to spend money in the league. Go for it. Well, one team picked Arias and gave him a 5-year contract.
Wow.
And he played in Complex League this year. This is a very smart owner, though, who's won this league twice. So he has owned both Tate, or he has both Tate and Arias. So I think he was like, I'm going to get this guy. He's going to pop over the next 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. And then I'm either going to trade him for a haul, or he's going to come up, and then I'm going to use our extension system to extend him at, you know, at a reasonable rate, So I find it to be fascinating that when I see smart dynasty guys who roster players like this, because they know, you know, like whether we're coming to the guy late or we're the first on the scene, when you see certain people in your league who are successful and you see that they roster them, sometimes for me, for sure, it gives it more weight. We're like, okay, Arias, like I get it. And I get people that have them. So moving now to the ACL, there is no debate about the first guy up here.
This is your Complex League stud hitter of the year.
Yeah, Robert Caliz, C-A-L-A-Z, Colorado. Outfielder, 18 years old. Are you guys all ready? Everybody listening? You don't need to turn it up because I'll just shout this. 349 average, 10 home runs, 12 stolen bases, OBP, 462, OPS, 1113. Holy hell.
Oh,
holy hell.
And he's been promoted. Yes. And he's got a 983 OPS. In 12 games at A ball. Now, granted, it's freaking Fresno, and I think I could hit one out in Fresno, but that's still dang depressive because it's 3 stolen bases, 2 triples, 2 doubles, 2 home runs. It's not like he's just cranking homers in a nice ballpark. He's hitting all over the field, and he's still running. Yeah,
it's having impressive.
One of those debuts where if he's not picked up in your league. In your dynasty league, make sure that you're the guy who does, because the only scary part to me is the Colorado development system. So
yeah, that's the only thing that's going to get in his way.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He is 16% rostered on Fantrax right now. So depending on your league size, he will be available this offseason and moving up to A-ball and beyond, good hitters parks for Colorado
right
players.
Right fielder guy, big arm.
Yeah, this is a guy to get excited about before everybody else does.
6'2", 200 pounds when he was signed. Like, this is a guy that he was a beast when he was signed, and he's kind of still one.
Yeah, he's still moving around and stealing bases too. So Colorado can use some good news. So that's it. And that's enough of it. You won't hear Colorado again. But we are going to talk to the defending champs right now, who have a not highly touted guy. Yeremy Cabrera. I'm going Yeremy Cabrera.
I think it's the Spanish version of Jeremy. So,
Yeremy. Holy crap. What a great day. It's Yeremy, everybody. So let's do it. Yeremy Cabrera, Texas center fielder, 5'11", 19-year-old. What did he do in the ACL? 9 home runs, 301 average, 438 OBP, and a 1009 OPS. Oh, 17 stolen bases. Did I mention that? Yeah. Love it.
We're still running hard in A-ball. 4 steals in 15 games, but that's about all that's translated. Struggling a little bit otherwise, but it's a positive thing to see that, hey, that speed, it's flipping legit, you know? So you kind of like to see that. And like you were said, this is an unheralded guy. This was not a $2 million signee. And yeah, you love to see these kind of guys pop.
Mm-hmm. Like, because Texas has their big dollar guys, and they've had success with the J2 class. This could be, I mean, at this moment in time, this is absolutely an all-star that you're excited about. Okay, we'll get back to somebody who was actually drafted. All right, we've got a drafted guy. He's 18 years old. He was a third-round pick last year. Eric, is it Bitonti? Bitonti? What do you
say? I was looking to see if there's
Bitonti.
Sometimes there's a
like phonetic a
pronunciation
spelling
guide, yeah, on BREF for a guy if they've got enough attention so far.
Not but yet.
Apparently he's not got that
after the season he'll get it. Yet. Anyway, it's Bitonti for everybody out there. Milwaukee's third round pick last year. He's 18-year-old shortstop. Hell of a year. 320 mm-hmm. average, 451 OBP, 1031 OPS, 9 stolen bases. Hell of a year at Complex. Like, beautiful.
And keeps crushing baseballs. 6 home runs in 20 games in A-ball. Granted, it's cool. A little bit struggle bus of, you know, 191 batting average to go with that, but still crushing baseballs. So, I mean, he's showing the power is absolutely legit. And
he's going to be a North American fun one this year. Yeah, North American, or not North American, an American high schooler. So it's great. Great to see that.
Third
the
base,
Dodgers. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Third base for all of Complex, but he's playing about even split first and third now. So that's just something.
So shortstop is outdated. Okay.
Yeah. He might be a first baseman starting next year, but something to keep track of as the season opens next year, because they've kind of made that split to a third base and first base even split right now. So just something to watch.
Yeah. Just like you're going to want to watch Eduardo Quintero of the Los Angeles Dodgers system. The 18-year-old outfielder had a hell of a year. The stats this time are just getting, I mean, not that they didn't start well. They just keep going. You know, they keep going. 330 average, 29 stolen bases, 459 OBP, 908 OPS, 3 homers. Quintero, beautiful. Like, I don't know what he signed for. I feel like I looked him up earlier and he was very low rostered percentage here on Funtrax. I'm going to look. I need to know. Quintero is 0% rostered, but he is rostered in a dynasty league I'm in. 1, 2, 3, 4. He's rostered in 4 dynasty leagues I'm in. Rostered in 15% overall. There we go. Okay, it's popped up. But yeah, this is a Complex hitter who's had himself a lovely year.
I was just gonna see.
Yeah, what do you got? What do you got? You're doing the clicks. What do you got? What are you finding?
I'm just kind of looking to see. Yeah.
Close your OnlyFans.
Well,
always got to check on those guys.
That's where the other camera is. Let's see.
Ben below the belt at OnlyFans. he's not gentle there, let me tell you.
There's a reason. There's a reason why that would just never take off. But anyway. Wowzer. Converted catcher, so it always makes you happy that he's not playing catcher.
Yeah, he's not on catcher. I would not insult the listener with a legit catcher on this.
I was trying to find, normally I knew that he was really high on Eric Longenhagen over at Fangraphs
on his
rankings coming into the year. And Eric is usually pretty good about mentioning a signing bonus, so you'd mention that.
Just to see what he got? Okay,
yeah. Just to see what he got, and he doesn't have it listed, but he's really high on him. He had him as number 12 in their system preseason. So for the Dodgers system, that's pretty decent, and especially considering he's come at that point, he had not played. He did his Dodgers list in March. Pulling it up here. March 1st, he did his Dodgers list. So that's pretty darn impressive to be at the top of that list in March, or that high in the list in March for Dodgers prospects.
Right.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, we don't have that info, but we're just going to say the signing bonus doesn't matter. The long and hanging bump. That's what it is. Now, here's somebody who's yet to get bumped. This will be the Palazzo bump. Kyle Henley with Cincinnati, 19-year-old, 6'2", super stud here, 280 average, 35 stolen bases that led the league, 17 extra base hits, a 372 OBP, and a 778 OPS. I think he had two home runs. That's what it was. And then it was 15 other extra base hits. But Henley, I forget where his draft was too. He was,
last year, 14th.
Thank you. 14th round. Yeah.
Georgia boy.
Yeah. So they said this wasn't an expected signing, I'm guessing, taking a high schooler in the 14th round, but they were able to secure him
for $395,000. So for a third day guy,
college,
it's like a 175, I think, is what you're 150 or 175. So he got more than double the expected signing bonus. That's pretty darn impressive. That tells you how much they wanted him.
Yeah, that and how much he wanted to go pro. Right?
First line of the thing on BA from his pre-draft. Henley is one of the fastest players of the 2023 class, a legitimate 80 grade speedster. So there you go.
It's proved out by being a league leader in your first pro season with 35 stolen bases. So this is, I think, is a slow burn guy with Cincinnati. We've also seen them draft high schoolers who start hot and then struggle. And that's not what I'm saying here. I'm like highly touted guys. So we'll see if Henley does continue that slow burn in A ball next year. But this might be your dynasty watch list. Yeah.
I mean, that's really the only thing. 79 strikeouts and 241 plate appearances. That's not pretty, but, you know.
OBP's still there. You know, although he's not doing it for power either, right?
There's the other thing is the OBP was solid, but he also had 9 hit by pitches as part of that. So almost half as many hit by pitches as he had walks.
He's a Rizzo type. He'll lean into it.
You know? I say, you got to worry because there's guys who do that and then they come up another level and suddenly that doesn't happen anymore for them. And it really kind of hurts their.
So maybe he faced Ha-Seok Jang, who had a bunch of hit by pitches. And who was the other guy that had it? There were a couple of ACL pitchers that had a bunch of hit by pitches.
Very Jeter well
Martinez, maybe. Yeah, it was Jeter Martinez. So maybe he faced Martinez and Ha-Seok Jang a bunch. And that's why he like really pumped up his hit by pitch. But yeah, I mean, again, a flyer guy, right? But impressive debut season for a drafted player. Who we didn't really have any expectation of coming out of last year's draft. So, but that's it, man. That's 20 dudes plus your news and notes.
Hey,
we got you, Complex League.
If you can't find enjoyment out of this, and just for those who are absolutely wondering, because we mentioned this starting out today, Max Fried just gave up his first. He did come back after the rain delay, and gave up his first run just now after pitching 4 scoreless innings. And in fact, not just that, but 4 perfect innings before this inning, or 3 perfect innings. And now he's given up a run after an error. That'll be an unearned run for him, but an error and 1 single. And then the second single drove in a run. So that's a pretty solid. He's having a pretty solid game, even though he had a long delay in there. So, but I would bet that he's, even though he's 66 pitches right now in the 5th inning, I'm betting he's out quickly. So,
yeah, that delay will do it. I do have one more thing I wanted to do. I completely forgot to do it off the top. MILB with their players of the week. I wanted to mention some of these guys from A all the way up just to throw names out there for anybody who wanted to look a little deeper here at single A in the Cali League. We had Lizbel Diaz with the Giants, Derek Coro, left-handed pitcher with the A's, Cam Smith with the Cubs, third baseman. He was just drafted.
Yep.
Yeah. Cleveland's Kyle Scott, right-handed pitcher with Lynchburg, Florida State League, AJ Ewing with the Mets, and then Samuel Perez, a left-handed pitcher, Fort Myers, Mighty Muscles, and I don't know who
Twins.
That is. Thank you. I don't know that affiliate. Yeah. And then we move to high A. We've got with the South Atlantic League, Carlson Reed, right-handed pitcher for the Pirates. Yankees had Garrett Martin, an outfielder. Northwest League, You've got Roman Angelo, who's a right-handed pitcher for Arizona. The Blue Jays on the board with one guy, Jace. Jace Brofen. Jace Brofen. I'm going to go with that. B-O-H Brofen, an outfielder with the Vancouver Canadiens. And the Midwest League, KC has Spencer Nevins, the outfielder, and Miami has Emmett Olson, the left-handed pitcher, with the Sky Carp. Then you move up to Double A. We got Samuel Bastillo doing his thing with...
Who was just promoted to Triple.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. You player of the week, you're moving on up.
Yep.
Cleveland's Trenton Delhomme, right-handed pitcher, with Akron's Southern League.
God, that is a fun staff. That Akron
Trey
staff.
Morgan is your first baseman with Tampa Bay. Kevin Abel, the Cincinnati right-handed pitcher.
Yeah, he was a stud in Oregon State when he was
freshman.
Yeah.
Yes. Travis Adams, right-handed pitcher with Wichita Wind Surge. What's that affiliate? What's that?
Twins. It's another you. Twins one.
See, I just don't know any of the Twins ones. And they're all covered. They're all covered here by this stupid little shopping icon at the bottom. AJ Vukovic with Arizona was the other. And then for AAA, there's only two leagues here. So I know the Twins. I know the Twins, St. Paul Saints. Yeah. Deshaun Kiersey Jr., their center fielder. Adam Mazur, Miami, formerly of San Diego, pitcher. And then Tim Tawa, second baseman with Arizona. And Houston's Cold Gordon, left-handed pitcher. Those are all the guys. If you're thinking about anything fun or exciting, a little bit of pep pipe, whatever you need, they're the players of the week from last week for MILB.
Kiersey is a very interesting one just because the Twins have Buxton on the IL and Max Kepler is dinged up right now too. So that's probably their next outfielder in line that they could potentially call up. So that's somebody just to kind of keep an eye on. And I think he's one of those guys that's more athlete than he is baseball player on the field a lot. So one of those guys who might give you over the last, if somehow he ended up starting the rest of the way, he might give you 5-5, you know, that type of a guy that could give you a little bit of power, a little bit of speed. So,
all right. Well, that's it. That's all. We've emptied the tank, guys. I don't even know what we're going to cover next week, but we will figure it out, and then we will let you guys know. So thanks so much for joining us for the Prospect Power 90 minutes. It was a half hour. Then we named it hour, and now we're taking 90 minutes. You know, for Ben, I'm Robbie. Thanks so much. Palazzo Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's, and peace, love, hair grease. We out.
Prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.